It's Side 2 of the Record on KUOW. I'm Ross Reynolds.
I'm Steve Scherr. The West Antarctic ice sheet is thinning, as you heard in the news. Scientists have been speculating for years that the ice sheet could collapse. Now a team of University of Washington researchers have gathered data that show the ice sheet may have already begun to collapse. That might raise sea levels by at least 2 feet in as little as 200 years. Researchers published their study today in the journal Science. Lead researcher is Ian Jockin. He's a glaciologist at the UW Applied Physics Laboratory. Ian Jockin, thanks for talking to us.
Thanks for having me on the show, Steve.
You studied the Thwaite Glacier, which has been compared to the cork in the bottle of the West Antarctic ice sheet. In a news conference earlier today, some NASA scientists said that we're at the point where the bottle has been uncorked. What does that mean?
Well, what we've shown, part of the ice sheet is long believed to be unstable. It was in the 80s, there was a paper that called it the weak underbelly of the West Antarctic ice sheet. And we basically used a numerical model to model the kind of behavior we would expect from this big glacier for the next 1,000 years or so. And all of our simulations tend to show that it's pretty much headed on toward collapse, meaning that it would lose its full 2 feet of sea level in the next 200 to maybe as much as 1,000, maybe a little more than 1,000 years even, but probably more of the sooner side of those. And but the glacier, it's not like a glacier like you imagine on Mount Rainier. It's a huge, huge area, a big part of West Antarctica. And if you can't remove part of West Antarctica without the rest of it affecting the rest of West Antarctica, which if that were to fully destabilize, could raise sea level by as much as 10 or 15 feet.
So things start to flow. How is it actually melting, from underneath with warmer seas or from on top, the ice melting off the top?
So there's very little melting on the surface. So Antarctica loses all of its ice, pretty much 98% of it, by having the ice flow into the ocean, where it either melts when it's in contact with the ocean, or it breaks off as an iceberg, which flows further north and melts somewhere where it's warmer. And so, to some extent, for sea level, it doesn't matter as much how it gets, because once it's crossed into the ocean, whether it's floating as an iceberg or an ice shelf, it's already raised sea level. What is concerned, though, is the melting underneath the ice shelf that is still attached to the glacier does have some effect on the rate of flow into the ocean. And so as those ice shelves thin, they're less able to hold the ice back, and the ice speeds up, and then it starts to thin more. And the more it thins, the more it loses contact with the ice, the ground that it's sitting on, and more of it floats, and there's a sort of positive runaway feedback. And this has long been suspected to be a problem, but with a numerical model, we've been able to sort of quantify the kind of rates we'd expect to see, which, you know, it could be as little as a couple of centuries.
Ian Jockin is a glaciologist, a researcher looking at the West Antarctic ice sheet. So how is this melting related to climate change and increased CO2 emissions by humans?
Well, what we do know is that there's warm water getting off the shore of Antarctica. And for various reasons, more of that warm water is moving under the ice shelves and melting them recently. And there are probably a number of causes that are anthropogenic related. I'm not a climate specialist in that sense. I more study the ice sheets. But more of this water is getting transported beneath the ice shelves and melting them, and that is not necessarily expected to abate anytime soon. And even when we dial back the melt to maybe what it was more like before, we still see that the ice continues to collapse.
I read that was part of the climate change emissions, sped up the westerly winds, bringing up water.
That's part of it. Warmer water. There's different researchers who have sort of different opinions, so I didn't want to come down too much on any one or the other.
Yeah. So when in history has the West Antarctic ice sheet melted before, and has it ever melted away?
Yeah, well, in the last million years, so every roughly 100,000 years or so, there's a warm period like we're in now, and we know that sea level has been higher in some of those warm periods. A few 100,000 years ago, they pulled up diatoms and other marine creatures from ice cores that they drilled beneath the ice sheet and they hit the mud. And from that, they know that big parts of it were ice-free at least once in the last million years. And the last warm period, which was a little bit warmer than it is now, and sea levels were a little bit higher, there's still a lot of debate about how much came from West Antarctica and how much came from Greenland. But it's likely West Antarctica was at least considerably smaller during the last warm period.
So was it possible that we had sea levels as high as we might see in 200 to 1,000 years back in the Middle Ages?
Oh, not in the Middle Ages. Back when Neanderthals were running around.
I see. So even further. So we have this human accelerated event. It's a natural event. We have a human accelerated impact on it. Is this an unstoppable event?
Right now, it appears fairly unstoppable because the instability's already begun. It's already started to thin, and that's somewhat of a self-sustaining process. It's the rate is controlled by the amount of melting, but even if we dial back the melting, I think it will continue. But it's what's quite the message that shouldn't be lost is that it's the rate of sea level that's important. So there's a big difference between like having X meters of sea level over 200 years versus over 800 years, because it has to do with the time span in which humans can adapt. I mean, 800 years ago, there were no buildings in Seattle, so that you can see how much things change over that kind of time span. So having 800 years is definitely a lot better than having 200 years. So we do have some control over the rate, even if the collapse of the ice sheet itself may be inevitable.
Ian Jockin is a scientist at the University of Washington. He studies the West Antarctic ice sheet and climate change and sea level rise. Senator Marco Rubio offered his thoughts on climate change yesterday. Speaking of sea level rise, he was on ABC's This Week. Here's Jonathan Carl asking a question.
Let me get this straight. You do not think that human activity, the production of CO2, has caused warming to our planet?
I do not believe that human activity is causing these dramatic changes to our climate the way these scientists are portraying it. That's what I do not, and I do not believe that the laws that they propose we pass will do anything about it, except it will destroy our economy.
I don't know about scientists proposing laws, but I heard a NASA official say, I'm not about belief, I'm about the science. How do you respond?
Well, it's rather ironic that the senator from the state that's most susceptible to sea level rise would make such comments. Already in the last week, there's been a story in the New York Times about businesses getting inundated with rising seas. Even sort of the moderate, business as usual scenario we're seeing in sort of approaching a meter kind of predictions from the IPCC, we're talking about a meter of sea level rise. And if you've ever seen a map of what South Florida looks like with a meter of sea level rise, it's considerably an awful lot of valuable beachfront property disappears, along with many of his constituents' properties. So I'm not quite sure why he's taking such a hardline stand. Well,
yeah, and that's just a meter, as you say.
That's just a meter, yeah.
Ian Jockin is a glaciologist at the UW's Applied Physics Laboratory. He's author of a study published today in Science about the melting of the West Antarctic ice sheet. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
This is The Record.